Good day, everyone. You're listening to Time for Your Hobby, and this is episode 228. Let the brush tell the story. I'm your host, Alex, and today I have the honor to have a reoccurring guest, a guest that's been almost at the beginning when I started, Connor. How you doing, Connor?
I'm good, and thank you for having me back. It's good to see you still going.
Yeah, I'm just as bald as I was back then, so not much has changed.
I'm getting there.
There we go. We'll make a bald club. But yeah, Connor was actually my guest on episode 44 about urbexing. Now, I know you're curious, so go check that episode out and then come back, listen to this one, or listen to this one first and then go listen to that one. But there is a pretty creepy story I was just telling Connor about that I just remembered, and yeah. It's a wonderful episode. So episode 44, and Connor is back now for episode 228 to talk about another hobby. Hopefully you don't do these two at the same time. Today's episode is actually about oil painting. But before we do that, a lot of people might have not heard episode 44 yet. So who is Connor?
Well, I'm now 29-year-old man from Scotland. In case you couldn't tell by the accent, I spend most of my time nowadays painting and generally doing arty things. I still dabble in the old urbexing, although lockdown kind of put the kibosh on that for a long time, and that's kind of generally where I found my arty side.
There you go, finding a new passion in new places. It's perfect. And of course, as you may know, right before we jump into the topic of today, do you have any social media links, websites, or projects you are working on that you would love to share?
I do, yeah. Check me out on Instagram. It's instagram.com/ConnorDrawsThings with an F.
Perfect. I'll put that down below so people can go check that out and show you all the love. And now, let's get into the painting. Today, we're going to be talking about not acrylic painting, but oil painting. Some may say the more sophisticated one. I'm just kidding. They're all wonderful. All painting is wonderful. But yes, today we're going to be talking about oil painting. So, Connor, how did you get introduced to oil painting itself?
So I've always been arty. I've always enjoyed drawing. But it's always been something that I just sort of occupied my spare time. You know, while I was, you know, I'd be on the phone and I would have a pen and a notepad with me doodling, or, you know, in downtime at work, I would, you know, sit and sketch and, you know, doodle cartoony faces and stuff. So it was never anything I took super seriously. Then over lockdown, we obviously couldn't do very much at all. And during a sort of late night YouTube binge, I started watching a YouTuber who I've come to really enjoy, Slew, who does a lot of oil painting, and it started off as, you know, just more of a being interested in his sort of journey within the medium of oil paint. And I always looked at it as, I'd always previously looked at painting as being the sort of more difficult version of art, so I never really got into it, but he really, really inspired me to the point where I thought, you know what, I'm gonna give this a go. And I started with just a simple, like, I think it was a 12 pack of oil paints from the local craft shop and some canvas. And yeah, a couple of years later, here we are.
And a couple of years later, do you still own the first thing you painted?
No. that wasn't worth hanging on to. The first portrait didn't really go anywhere. It was about an hour or so of just frustration with how difficult the medium was.
Now, actually, since you didn't keep the first one, the one that you did keep, which is, like I say, one of the first ones that you're like, you know what, this is a completed project. What was it of?
It was of a skull. I've always had a fascination with skulls in art. I find them sort of fun to draw. Kind of morbid, I suppose, but the good thing about being a bit, like, when you're a beginner painting things like skulls is there's a lot more sort of room for error when you're looking. Like, when you're looking at a face, you know what a face looks like. Looking at a skull, you've got a bit more of a scope for, well, the proportions maybe not quite right, or so there's a lot more leeway for mistakes and for creativity. So that I've actually still got it. It's on my Instagram. It's a multicolored yellow and blue skull.
And did you name it?
I didn't know. Would you like to name it?
Scully.
Scully. Scully. I've actually got a friend whose cat's named Scully.
There, it's after the cat. If the cat was a human, it'd be Scully the cat. God, I was really horrible on the spot naming your painting. You put a lot of effort into it, and I just ruined it by naming it Skull with a Y. Scully. That, yeah, there.
Perfectly adequate.
And so is it that you prefer to paint more morbid or darker things? Or what is the type of paint style or painting style you'd consider yourself doing?
It totally varies depending on my mood. I'm not someone who, like, I've not really found my style, I suppose. I've not really got, like, a concrete... Most artists, when you look at them, they've got, like, a, you know, that's their general sort of vibe. With myself, it really varies depending on my mood. You know, even if, you know, looking at my Instagram, it's everything from, you know, skulls and bones and, you know, life studies to portraits of dogs. So it does vary, but I tend to be quite, my style, I suppose, is quite loose, impressionist almost. But my favourite sort of subject to paint, I suppose, would probably still be skulls.
And when you do paint these skulls, is it always on the same type of canvas, or do you like different sizes, or not even just say canvases, but do you like to paint on, let's say, wood, for example, or any other material?
I mostly paint on canvas. Mostly canvas. I've experimented on MDF and plywood, and I do enjoy those. I do enjoy those, but I prefer canvas. Is like a lot more accessible with MDF and stuff. It usually comes in a lot bigger sheets, and I don't quite have the storage space for it.
And do you always do the same size, or do you like to do bigger size and very small?
No, I tend to vary it depending on its purpose. If it's something that I'm just, you know, painting to practice or to experiment, I tend to go with, you know, small sort of photograph style or photograph sized canvases. If it's something that I'm doing as, you know, a gift or like a passion project, it tends to be something a bit bigger, maybe towards, you know, A3-ish size.
And so my wife is a painter as well. She does it as a hobby. So
cool.
I'm super, super curious. And for her, when she paints, she likes to get inspiration from a photo or an image, and she kind of works on that. Since she's also a beginner, this is her way of training. So she kind of like turns a picture into a painting just to practice. Now for you, do you get inspired like just out of your mind? Like you create out of just whatever pops up in your head? Or do you look at, let's say, a photograph or an image and just try to copy that to the T, or even, let's say, add some variations to make it even more unique?
For myself, I find it really important to use a reference. I know a lot of old school artists consider that cheating, but for me, a reference is really, really crucial. So I tend to take a lot of inspiration from photos. Generally I'll browse, you know, Pinterest or Instagram, and I'll find something that just sort of shouts out at me. You know, one of those, you know, when you see it, and I tend to go from there. I don't necessarily copy the reference, you know, line for line, but I'll take sort of cues for proportion and, you know, composition from a reference, and then sort of tailor it to what I'm looking for.
Now, speaking about your references from Instagram and Pinterest, have you ever had inspiration from your own photos you've taken?
Yeah, absolutely. I recently, actually, for my partner's father has just recently turned 60, and for his 60th birthday, as a gift, I painted a photo of him and my partner that I took at his wedding.
That's awesome. You must have been really surprised.
Yeah, it was. He seemed to like it anyway.
It's like, yes, I got his approval. I'm in.
Yep. Keep him sweet.
And when it comes to the actual creative process, what goes into your head? Do you look at the blank canvas, and how do you decide what brush you're going to use or what colors you're going to use?
At the start, that's something I really struggled with, was, you know, sort of finding where do you begin? Because for me, it's quite daunting to, you know, look at a blank white canvas. So what I started doing was just making a mess of the canvas at the start. So I would take a kind of mid-tone, usually like a sort of auburn-y sienna colour, so like a orangey brown, and then just very lightly coat the canvas in that to sort of bring everything to like a neutral tone rather than it being a vibrant white. From there, I'll sort of block in, my process anyway, sort of to block in the sort of larger areas of colour and get the sort of larger shapes down, get the general sort of composition, and then slowly work my way down to smaller and softer brushes and, you know, more refined colours. But at the start, it's very, very blocky. For me, the colour choice doesn't really matter so much at the start. It sort of comes in towards the end.
And I could also imagine, I could be wrong, but is there a color that just speaks to you more? Even though you don't use it in every painting, you really enjoy using that color when you have the chance.
Yeah, I love an ochre yellow. It's quite a sickly color, actually. It's quite a sickly yellowy, but it's fantastic for painting skin. You can get some really great skin tones blending that and just a couple other colors.
And also, for when it comes to the colors themselves, do you like to buy the colors pre-made, or do you like to mix the colors? Take the, base colors, or fundamental colors? You know, yellow, blue, red, those colors, and then...
Your primaries.
Primaries, thank you. Yeah. I'm going to stick with fundamental colors.
I knew what you meant.
Thank you. Yeah, do you ever like mixing, or do you like to buy the pre-made colors?
Mixing's probably more fun for me than the actual painting. I tend to work from a limited palette, so I tend to work from usually four or five colours, and that as well, to me, sort of it forces me to learn a little bit more during the painting process, because I don't have, if I've got a selection of, you know, 20, 30 colours, it gives me too much to work with. Whereas if I've only got four or five colours, I really need to work to get the sort of values correct within the painting.
I don't know why, but I could just imagine you challenging yourself someday where you kind of like turn off all the lights and then you mix up all your red, green, blue, or no, sorry, red, yellow, blue, black and white, and then take two and just mix the colours but not know what it is. And then you just got to work with that. Just, you have like three different colours to work with, and you mix them together to try to figure out what that color is, and then you make something out of that without knowing what the color is before.
I've actually experimented with that in Photoshop. So I do some digital art as well. And one of the things that I sort of messed about with for a little while was to create like a palette of colors that I was going to use, but then to remove the color and have it all grayscale. So I couldn't actually tell what I was using at the time until the end. My first attempt didn't really go as I thought it would. I've seen a few people do it on Instagram and it looked really cool. My result wasn't quite as cool as that, but it's something I definitely do plan to turn back and back to at some point.
This is what I love about the painting process. It's just the amount of creativity that goes into it is endless. The amount of things you can do. And actually, speaking of which, when it comes to the creativity, is not just restricted to brushes themselves. There could be other tools that people use to help with their oil painting. So for you, is there anything else that you use on top of brushes to help you create unique shapes or lines or anything at all?
Yeah, my process generally starts with willow charcoal as a sort of sketching medium to sort of block in what I'm going to roughly sketch out what I'm going to be painting. As far as actually putting the paint to canvas, 99% of it's going to be using a brush of some form. But those, you know, the brushes do vary. It's not all your typical artist's brush. I've used a brush that I bought initially to paint a fence with because I was looking for something massive. I've used makeup brushes because they're really, really soft and they really great for blending. But also use a lot of the time I'll use a palette knife for mixing colours, which is sort of like a small knife looking tool. You would know it if you've seen it. If you've ever watched a Bob Ross tutorial, he uses them all the time.
Shout out to Bob Ross.
Yep.
Bob Ross has inspired so many painters. And
oh, massively, yeah. I think he's inspired everybody who's ever picked a brush up.
Yeah. And actually, when it comes to painting itself, with me, when it comes to audio or anything I create, sometimes I can be a perfectionist. I really want it to be a specific way. Are you that type of person where you, well, not necessarily in a bad way, but kind of like you're self-critical, like, ah, I want to do this better. I need to do this better this time.
I'm very self-critical, much to a fault. So I'm trying to sort of train myself out of that, because I get to the finishing stages and I start to sort of like what I'm working with, and I'm like, okay, I'll just add this. Now it just needs this. Now just change that. And I tend to overwork what I'm working with. So there comes a point where you've sort of done too much, and I'm trying to train myself to be better at noticing when to walk away and when something's actually finished.
Yeah, and especially when it comes to physical painting compared to, let's say, digital illustration or graphic design, it's a lot harder to fix your mistakes without making multiple layers.
Yeah, with digital painting, you can just, you know, edit, undo. But there's no edit, undo on the canvas.
I think that's a new technology we need. Just an undo button on all canvases.
there has been a few times where I've been doing a lot of digital art, and then I've went back to the sketchbook and I've, you know, made a line incorrect and sort of almost instinctually went to do Control Z for the undo shortcut. Done that quite a few times.
Yeah, one day it'll work. One day.
Fingers crossed.
And actually, speaking about days, what is your preferred time of day to do a new project?
I'm very much a 3 a.m. kind of guy.
Which are right around now.
yeah. Usually, I tend to do my sort of sketching and preparing of the canvas during the day, and then my actual painting late at night, because I find late at night, you know, I'm not going to be distracted by, you know, a phone call or, you know, someone else doing something, or, you know, any other distractions. I don't have work I need to worry about. In the middle of the night, I'm sort of left to my own devices to paint for as long as I want, or until my body decides, well, I'm not doing that anymore.
So that's what I was going to ask you. Can you finish a project in one sitting, or does it take you a few days, weeks, or months to do it?
It depends on the project. On my Instagram, if you look at some of the pet portraits, they've been, you know, sort of 4, maybe 5 hours all in, whereas something like a portrait of a person where I've got, you know, a lot more, there's a lot more work goes into making a person's face than there does making an animal. For example, the portrait I gave to my partner's father for his birthday, that was probably 20 hours. So it's something that can take days, and that 20 hours was probably spread out over maybe a week and a half.
And so 20 hours is straight. Like, yeah, no, of course not. It's like, don't need sleep, don't need to eat.
No.
Oh, no, overrated.
20 hours straight, I couldn't do it. I think my eyes would be crossed together.
It's like, yeah, this like, you start painting on the wall. Like, yep, this is part of the canvas.
Yep.
And have you ever experimented with a technique that is usually outside of your comfort zone? Like, ooh, I'm not sure I'm going to do, like, I can do this, but screw it, I'm going to give it a shot.
That's something I try to do. I try to push myself with every painting. So even when I'm just, you know, painting for fun rather than painting for like a purpose, I try to at least take something away from it. So one painting, especially when I'm practicing, maybe focusing on getting the composition right and just sort of pushing for a more complicated composition than something I would typically paint. Another painting may be focusing on, you know, colour, so I may restrict myself down to 2 or 3 colours so that I'm really having to work for getting the values correct. I do tend to sort of push myself on each sort of new project with something that I'm not quite comfortable with. I find if I stick to what I'm comfortable with, I'll never like grow as an artist.
Yeah, that's completely understandable. And just trying something new, it's a... What would Bob Ross say? Ah, yes, beautiful mistake.
Yep. Yep. Little mistakes.
Yes. Happy little accidents. Yes. In a very beautiful mistakes. It's happy little accidents. That's the word. Yeah. See, I need to catch up on my Bob Ross. Now, for you, what would you say is the best part about oil painting?
The best part is definitely mixing the colors. I love spending some time with the palette and just getting the colors sort of refined and decided before I start. In terms of actual, you know, paint on canvas, my favourite part has always been putting in the final highlights. The highlights, for me at least, tend to be the very last thing I paint. And usually when I'm getting to the highlight stage, I know that I'm just about to sort of walk away from it, and we're almost somewhere that I'm happy with it. And they make such a difference.
And do you actually have any of your creations mounted on the wall right now near you?
I don't know. I don't have anything hung up on in my house. I find if I've got stuff that I can like see on the regular, I tend to pick it apart too much. I become too self-critical of it. Like when I first finish something, I'll always be like, right, that's it, it's great, I'm 100% happy with it. If I come back in a day or two, I'm like, I could have maybe put a little bit more work here, that should be slightly bigger there, the colour choice was maybe a little bit off, and I tend to keep going back to stuff if I've got it sitting. So mostly what I've got sort of on display as such in the house is my sketchbooks. My sketchbooks tend to be sort of laying around on the coffee table for me to have a flick through, but at the same time they're closed over so they're not staring at me. But I do know that a few of my pieces are, you know, one of them's in my partner's father's house. I've also got a friend who has one of my pieces tattooed on her arm.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That must have been like such a compliment.
Massively. And at first she was very, very nervous about asking me how I felt about her having it tattooed. And I was more than enthusiastic, like, such an honour.
You didn't sue her for copyright infringement? What?
No, that I'm still speaking to my lawyer.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah.
We're in talks.
Your friends listening to this later on, like, oh no, I regret it now. No.
I'll see you in court, Ali.
Ooh, you in trouble.
Nah, not at all. It's such an honor.
Yeah. And do you actually have a favorite painting you've created?
Yeah. To be fair, I've got a few that are sort of like my favorites out of them all, but I'd say my sort of like number one, my Mona Lisa, so to speak, would be a portrait I did for a friend of mine a friend of my partner's of a greyhound, and it's her dog. The dog's name has escaped me now. Gromit. And I just really love the brushwork on it. Really, really spent a lot. It was one of the first ones that I sort of stepped back and went, I don't need to do anything with that. That's perfect. At least as far as I'm concerned.
Is that the one that you have on Instagram?
Yeah, it is.
It's very beautiful.
Thank you.
Sorry, I was just creeping on your Instagram. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you're speaking so highly of it. I gotta, and then it's great. And I saw the gift as well that you made. I'm envious of people who can paint. I tried it. I suck. I will try again, but I suck. But it's amazing that you can do it.
I've always said that anyone can learn to paint or draw. When I first started, I was terrible. I was absolutely atrocious. And even with drawing, like probably 3-4 years ago, before I started taking art seriously, I was very, very... There was a few things I could draw well. I've always been good at eyes. I've always been good at like sort of abstract stuff, but I was never good at getting anything that looked like the reference I was using. And it's nothing but practice. The more hours you put in, there's a lot of talents out there that I think you either have or you don't have. Like I'm never going to be an operatic singer. that's just something that I'm never going to be able to do. I don't have the range, and I don't. I'm
we
different.
Will not.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's certain things you're either built that way or you're not built that way. Art's not one of those. I hear it all the time when anyone looks at my work like, oh, I can't even draw a stick figure. Like, yes, you can. Just put the practice in and you will get there. It might take months. It might take years, but you will get there.
I think the idea is you have to be comfortable with not necessarily failure, but making mistakes and just learning from your experience, because from day one, you're not going to be perfect and you just got to keep going at it. Like you're saying, it's kind of like kids when they start walking or they keep on falling, but they get back up and they do it. And then one day they walk and they talk and they throw tantrums. That's what I'm currently going through right now with my 2-year-old son. Tantrums. Yes. Yeah. He does not give up on those tantrums. Yeah.
Either do I have a lot of tantrums behind the easel.
Just flip the easel like, ah, why are you the way you are?
I've been close to that a few times.
Have you almost had the temptation just punching through your canvas like, why? Just
oh yeah. There's been a fair few paintings that I've been maybe three quarters of the way into, and then I'm like, no, I'm walking away for this, because if I don't, I'm gonna kill it.
You know what you do? You put a punching bag right behind the canvas. So if you do punch it, you end up punching a punching bag. There.
Yeah, so I'll either become a very successful artist or a very good boxer.
That would be a thing I'd love to see. Oil paint
boxing.
I'll be
back in 2 years with my boxing career.
Dude, I'll be your number one fan just in the stands. Like, yeah, punch my painting. That's like an
I'll
autograph.
I'll be on the podcast again talking about my new hobby.
Yeah, and
martial arts.
For your art autograph, you just punch canvases. That's your autograph.
I could dip my hand in paint and punch the canvas. There we go.
We're starting a new idea for the internet, a new internet trend. This is exactly what
pretty
we need.
Niche.
Yeah, it's gonna catch on like that. And do you have any inspiration in the world of oil paint, or just any inspiration in general that helps you, encourages you to keep going with this hobby?
Yeah, I take a lot of inspiration from some of the sort of early impressionist artists. So the biggest inspiration for myself is probably Anders Zorn, who was a Swedish painter in the late 1800s. He painted a lot. His painting style was very similar to myself, and he's where I got the idea for the restricted palette. So almost exclusively for the last four or five paintings, I've used the Zorn palette, which is a restricted palette of four different colours. So you've got, let me remember off the top of my head, ivory black. Oh, I'm going to have to Google this. This is terrible. I should know this. I might not even be Zorn palette. Jeez, I should know this.
There's green.
Yeah. So blue. It's vermilion, ivory black, flake white, and yellow ochre. And from those four colours, you can have such a whole host. In fact, most of his paintings were painted exclusively with those four colours. And you can see in his work, I really like that every brush stroke is very, very intentional. His brush strokes are very, very evident in his work, and that sort of builds up. So if you look at it very closely, it's not so detailed, but when you step back, it sort of brings together like he's got a very, very famous painting of Teddy Roosevelt, which was one of his sort of more popular pieces that for me was a huge source of inspiration when I started to paint, because I really wanted to get that sort of textured brushstroke look. I also take a lot of inspiration from John Singer Sargent, who's along the same lines, late 1800s. He was an American artist who focused almost exclusively on portraiture. So he did a lot of like self-portraits, and his brushwork was very, very evident in all of his paintings. But I'd say more than inspiration, I think I've just got more motivation. So a lot of my paintings start not from a place of seeing something, wanting to, you know, add to it or replicate it, or not having, you know, a statement in mind that I'm trying to convey. A lot of my paintings come from, here's something I've been struggling with, you know, technically. So it might be over the last wee while I've been struggling with getting my value or colour correct. So that I'll pick something that I'm going to paint exclusively to focus on that, and, you know, hopefully work that out over the course of the painting. Like I say, a lot of what I do is, or most of my paintings tend to be to teach myself a lesson. That sounded a lot more aggressive than it should have.
No, it's not aggressive at all.
Teach myself a lesson.
Yeah. Punched myself with the canvas. Well, actually, it is a great segue for my following question, which is, what is something that you know now that you wish you knew when you first started oil painting?
The foundation makes way more impact than I thought at the beginning. So at the beginning, and it's something that was very common in beginners, especially in art in general, is to get caught up in the details very early on. Very early on, at the very start of your pieces, the details don't matter. they really don't matter. What matters is the composition's correct. So the sort of building blocks, it's like building a house. A stronger foundation is going to lead to, you know, a better house. If you just start making windows, you're not going to get anywhere with the house. And painting's very much the same. If you start a portrait and immediately focus in on painting, and I mean, don't get me wrong, it works for some people, but for the majority of people, they'll hyper focus on one thing. So for me, I would, you know, sketch out the outline of the face and then immediately start on getting the details and getting the eye to look as realistic as I could without even realizing that, you know, the nose maybe isn't quite in the right place, or the lips are maybe sitting too high, or, you know, the angle's not quite right for what I'm looking for. And that caused a lot of confidence issues at the start, I suppose. And the more I spent on the beginning stages and getting my composition and getting my shapes correct at the beginning, the more I realised that it was paying off towards the end, and that's when I really started to like more of my own stuff. Art always starts the same way, where everything you do, you hate by the end of it. But then there finds a point where you sort of find your style and find, you know, what's working for you. And for me, it was making sure the beginning stages were as thoroughly like fleshed out as possible before I would move on to the more nitty gritty of the painting. And that's something that I wish I'd known at the start.
And would you say that's your biggest challenge, or you had something else that was your biggest challenge when you first started?
No, that was probably my biggest challenge, was moving away from, you know, just getting too into it. I think at the beginning, I sort of just wanted to rush and get to the end of the painting, so I had another thing that I'd finished and I could move on to the next thing. But that wasn't getting me anywhere. I was, you know, getting halfway through a painting and realizing that I hadn't got my composition right, or I hadn't got my structure right at the beginning, and it was just not going to work. It wasn't, you know, I could paint for hours and hours and hours, and it was never going to turn out like the reference or like the sort of vision I had. And yeah, that was my biggest struggle, was stepping away from that and putting more time into the boring stages as such.
Because the solid foundation helps you just build a steady house. Like you said, don't start with the windows.
That's not the fun bit.
No,
yeah, don't start with the windows.
Start with the doorknob on the door. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now everybody knows a house falls down if you take out the doorknob. Yeah. So now we talked about your biggest challenge when you first started. What is your current biggest challenge with oil painting?
Current biggest challenge just now is finding the time to put the practice in. Yeah, just now I've taken a bit of a break from painting for the last sort of maybe 2 weeks, and I've been focusing a lot on the drawing aspect of painting. It was a talk with big YouTube oil painter, Andrew Tischler. If anyone's into oil painting, they'll know the name. And he was discussing how your fundamental skills in drawing reflect massively within painting, because obviously it's very, very transferable skills. So I'm sort of pushing back to basics and working on the very basics of drawing at the moment. So going back to, you know, shapes and theory. And that's sort of my biggest challenge, is trying to break bad habits. You know, again, trying to stop myself from rushing into things.
Yeah, because if you start rushing, you might get yourself boiled up. Maybe not, maybe you do. But with that in mind, what is the most stressful part about oil painting? It's probably not punching the canvas, but I'm sure. What was the point that, yeah, let's go from there. Right before you're about to punch the canvas, what is that tipping point? You're like, oh, I hate when this happens.
Usually when you realize that you've been doing the wrong thing for a long time.
No.
Or when you've had something that you're like, yeah, this is great, but I'm just going to add this small bit, and that's a small bit that just takes it right over the edge and ruins it. That's probably the second most stressful thing about oil paint. I think the most stressful moment for any painter is the first time you show someone your work and you're not sure what they're going to, you know, how they're going to react, especially if you're like giving it as a gift, or, you know, you've been commissioned to do something for somebody. There's always that few seconds after you show them it that you know, do they like it, do they not? And that's probably the most stressful moment in painting.
Well, I can imagine that everybody who has received the gift from you has loved it so far, even to the point that somebody tattooed it.
Yeah, that's quite the commitment.
Now the bar has been set. Now you got to get all your other paintings tattooed on somebody.
I'm expecting at least a full back piece from someone within the next few months. Bare minimum.
I will do a face tattoo for you.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
What could possibly go wrong, right?
Nah, nothing. It'll be totally fine, man. You'll sit it.
And in a darker side of things, what are some misconceptions about people who do oil painting?
I think that we know a lot about art. Like, at least the sort of conception or the idea of an oil painter I had when I first started was usually someone who had some sort of formal education in art, some sort of, you know, a dedicated study, or someone who had already graduated past, you know, acrylics or watercolors and was looking for a challenge. And that's really not the case. I think for a lot of people, it's a lot of oil painters anyway, it's just the sort of medium of choice. Yeah, I think for me anyway, the conception was that to be an oil painter, you had to already, you know, have a good foundation in art, and you really don't.
Experience is the best teacher, and especially when it comes to arts.
Definitely, definitely.
And in overall, what has oil painting taught you in life?
That becoming a professional artist is way harder than it looks. No, it's actually taught me to appreciate colour more and to appreciate structure and to sort of break things down. Previously with art, when I would sit down to draw something, I would sit down with the intention of this is what I'm, you know, so say I was drawing a portrait of someone, I would sit down with the intention of, right, let's get a face on this piece of paper. And through oil painting and understanding how to sort of structure everything, I've learned to break things down into the simplest shapes and the simplest forms. And that sort of transferred into other areas of life where, you know, if I've got a complex task, I'll break it down into smaller, more manageable tasks and make it more tangible, more, you know, more manageable, I suppose. And that's helped me across sort of all walks of life. But yeah, that's something that I definitely wasn't very good at before I began oil painting.
Yeah, once again, experience. It will get you everywhere. And if you had to give one big piece of advice to people listening who might be interested in picking up oil painting, let's say instead of, let's say, acrylic, you can give, let's say, two pieces of advice. One for people picking up painting and one for picking up oil painting.
For picking up painting, I would say the biggest piece of advice would be just to jump in, make the mistakes. Like you said, experience is the sort of biggest teacher. Make all the mistakes, mess things up, you know, paint things that you're going to absolutely hate. Your first 100 paintings are going to be the worst things you've ever looked at, but there will come a point where you go, actually, that's pretty good. I'm a big fan of, if you've ever seen Adventure Time, one of my favourite quotes is sucking at something is the first step to being sort of good at something.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me has always resonated true, that you need to start somewhere. You need to start being terrible at something before you can be good at something. And painting's very much the same. You know, so start with the basics and, you know, mess it up 100 times, but you will get there. And then for oil painting, as opposed to acrylic or watercolour, I would say, yeah, probably the same. Just experiment, find what works. Everyone's an expert in this field. Everyone will tell you, you know, this is the correct way to do it, this is the wrong way to do it. There is no wrong way to do it. Just do what works for you. You know, think about what you want to achieve, and if you do something that works, that's fine. It doesn't have to be technically correct or technically perfect. I spent a long time messing about with oil paint before I found out about anything to do with, you know, other mediums and diluting the paint. I was using it as a raw paint for a very long time, and I found out that's not how you do it, but it worked for a long time. So it's something I do occasionally sort of go back to. But yeah, it's just an experiment.
Well, I guess I forgot to ask this as well. Since there's different types of paint, what attracted you to oil paint over water-based or acrylic?
It was through watching Slew. Previously, I'd always thought that painting in general was pretty difficult. And for me, whenever I've painted in the past, it had been acrylic or it had been watercolour. And I found it just didn't resonate with me. There wasn't, like, it dried too quick. It was too difficult for me, or it was too, I suppose it just didn't grab me in the same way that oil did. Oil, I think the thing that immediately attracted me to it was how workable it is. So unlike acrylic, if you paint something in acrylic and come back half an hour later, it's probably going to be, for the most part, dry. Oil is totally the opposite. You can come back to something weeks later, months later, and still work with it. So much so that if you're varnishing any of your pieces, the recommendation is to leave it for at least 2 years before you varnish it, so that, because there will still be areas of it that are still drying. It will be touch dry within a day or two, but the smallest amount of solvent, and you can keep working at it. And I really, really, that was what drew me to oil paint, was the ability to spend a long, long time on it and really sort of label the process.
Just hopefully that since you're leading it out, or just leaving it for 2 years before varnishing it and finishing it, you don't forget it. You're like, oh, right, I did that. You just walk down the hallway, it's like, oh, wait, there's one. Is it varnished? Did I do it? Right, you're right.
Well, that's something I do enjoy. And one of the reasons I keep a sketchbook is every now and again to look back and go, oh, yeah, I made that. In fact, there was a time a few months back where one of my pieces had popped up on my Instagram, and it was the piece where it was one of the still lifes of the pear, and I remember looking at it and going, oh, I really like that, and then I remembered, oh yeah, I did that.
Don't you just love those moments? It's like, oh
yeah, that was probably a much bigger moment for, like, my self-confidence than I even realized at the time. Looking back on it, like, that was quite a huge step for myself, realizing that, you know, I'm still happy with that, you know, 3-4 months down the line.
Well, I'm glad you got surprised by your own work and I loved it. So that confident boost, like you said, helps you just keep going with your hobby.
Oh, definitely. That gives you the motivation to just keep going. And sometimes that can be very difficult. Not just in art, but in any hobby, is reaching like a plateau and not having the motivation to continue or to grow, or feeling like you've sort of peaked. You know, there's always room to grow.
Look, I peaked in elementary school, so I can only go up from here.
That's all.
Yeah. So I've asked this question at the beginning of the episode, but I'll ask it again at the end because I want to show some more support. Do you have any social media links, websites, or projects you're working on that you'd love to reshare?
Yeah, just again, just Connor Draws Things on Instagram.
Perfect. I'll put that down below. Easy.
Lovely.
Like that.
Thank you.
Just click, 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 and people can go show it. And now,
yep.
Now for the last question. Do you have any questions for me about oil painting?
Well, is there anything about oil painting or even art in general that you didn't know before the podcast that you now know, thanks to me?
That I did know a little bit about oil painting because my wife does acrylic and was really looking into oil painting, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to learn as much about it as you are. So I was just really interesting. I like the idea of oil painting because it feels richer and creamier, if that's a term.
Yeah, there's something satisfying about the creaminess of oil paint.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, something about it just feels like butter.
Yeah, there's so much structure within the paint that allows you to kind of, you know, really get some texture in there, and that's always satisfying.
And it can tell like a story on a three-dimensional space as well, which, yeah, I don't know, that's... But yeah, no, I actually, the one thing I did not know was like the whole, it takes 2 years to really settle in before you varnish.
Yeah. I found that out shortly after varnishing one of my first pieces, about 2 weeks in. So that was a learning experience when it all went wrong.
Too bad there's no way to speed up the process.
There are certain ways you can't. So there are different painting mediums that you can add to your paint that allow it to either dry faster or dry slower, depending on what you're, you know, what you're going for. But they slow it down to maybe 6 months rather than 2 years. So it's still quite a lengthy process.
Watch me piss off every oil painter out there. You know what you have to do? You just have to put a really powerful fan in front of the painting for 24 hours a day.
That would probably work.
I feel like that would crack easier because it's like direct force and it would just like speed up. It would speed up the drying, but true. It would. Yeah, that's like, that's where I'm going to piss off people. Yeah, just put a fan on it. Yeah, a leaf blower.
I'll try it. I'll try it. We'll see.
I could just picture you just looking at your canvas like, all right, it's time. He could come up with a leaf blower for a solid 20 minutes per day. Like, yeah, that's going to help.
Well, we can give it a go.
Yeah, Alex, do not listen. Don't listen to Alex's advice. I'm talking to myself in the third person. Don't listen to advice. Horrible.
I wouldn't listen to mine either, to be fair.
Don't listen to our advice. Yeah.
Yep. This is not an advice podcast.
Or is it? Well, it's up to the guests, the listeners, to find out. Remember, it's all about trying, experimenting. If you have a leaf blower, use it.
Make the mistakes. That's what I was saying earlier.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Make the mistakes that I'm telling you to make.
Yeah, peer pressure. That's what we're doing here.
Yep. Nothing bad ever came of peer pressure.
Yeah, not at all. So there you have it. Another body with a hobby. Thank you so much, Connor, for coming back on, for being brave enough to come back on. You know, it's been 2-3 years since the last time. And Connor says, you know what? Alex was okay. Let's do this again.
It was a great experience the first time, and it's been a great experience this time.
Thank you. Well, you know what? I always enjoy having you on. It's great. You create memories for me. And like I said to the people, go listen to the Urbex episode. There's multiple moments in there, but there's one specific moment that gave me goosebumps.
Gave me more than goosebumps at the time.
It is nightmare inducing. It's a
fantastic story.
Now I'm encouraging people. Peer pressure. There it is again.
Of course. Go and check all of the podcasts out.
Yeah. So if you guys would like to learn more about Connor, go check him out. I'll put all the links down below, so it'd be very easy to find. And if you'd like to be on my podcast, you can send me an email. You could also buy some merchandise or join my Patreon. And I'm also working on a board game as well. So if you are interested, that will come out in the future. I am currently working on the design and the illustrations for it. So that's my little splash of art. But yeah, it's in the process.
Can't wait to see the finished product.
Oh yeah, I'll show you what it looks like so far after this. You get a sneak peek. Great. So thank you once again, Connor.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been great.
So until the next episode, make some time for your hobby. Take care.
Take care. Bye.